This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9. I'm Koo Soo Chuang, joined by Wong Shanning, 36 minutes past 7, which means we're about half an hour away from the breakfast grill. Who have we got on, Wong Shanning?
Well, we're going to have a very interesting breakfast grill. It's all about making money and what you can do to make that money, because we're going to have our biannual 2021 market outlook. Now, what we know is Bursa ended the year, last year, best performing ASEAN major market, and in large part due to the stellar profits of glove makers and healthcare players. But what is 2021 going to bring for us, especially when you look at the rising COVID-19 cases, and how will we do compared to some of our regional neighbours? So, you know, tune into that discussion, which I'll be having with Teng Chee Wai, who is the Managing Director at Affin Hwang Asset Management, and Anand Padmakaran, who is the Regional Head of Research at Maybank Kim Eng.
Well, talking about making money, right? Bitcoin, if you had bought Bitcoin a week ago, you would have made a 36% gain.
Only?
Only. But if you had bought Ethereum...
Try annualize that. Annualize that, Chuang, and it would be an insane number.
I don't have enough decimal points. But if you had bought Ethereum a week ago, you would have made 70%. So Bitcoin is on a huge rally, and the whole cryptocurrency market is going gangbusters.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the entire crypto market, right, which is made up of... It's not just Bitcoin, although that's probably the biggest household name. There are other digital coins like Ether and Theta, and it sounds like something from Star Trek, but also surpassed $1 trillion yesterday. And this is according to data from CoinMarketCap. So cryptocurrencies are doing extremely well. But of course, we need to ask why.
Well, just as well, then we've got TM Lee, the founder of CoinGecko, with us on the call this morning. Now, TM, what in the name of all that's holy is driving this rally?
Hi, thanks for having me. Yeah, so one would definitely point out that this recent Bitcoin and crypto run-up was due to macro concerns, the pandemic and the global economy. What we have seen in 2020 was a huge, massive quantitative easing that's happening globally due to the pandemic, and central banks are adding trillions of dollars into their balance sheet in order to respond to the situation. As such, there is a likely case for Bitcoin to be a better store of value in order to hedge against the incoming inflation. So recently, we have seen an influx of sophisticated and professional institutions buying up large amount of Bitcoin. You got public listed companies like MicroStrategy and Square loading up on Bitcoin as well as corporate treasury. And these are all not small purchases. They are all worth at about hundreds of millions of dollars worth of Bitcoin. And they all do it in the same thesis that Bitcoin is going to be a possible digital gold that stands a better chance to hedge against the inflation. I may also add that last year we have seen a Bitcoin halving event that took place, which reduces the inflationary supply of Bitcoin mined from 12.5 Bitcoin to 6.25 Bitcoin, which further creates lower supply in the market in this environment with very high demand.
Yeah, TM, this whole fear trade that Bitcoin enjoys with gold is predominantly due to the fact that there's a finite supply of Bitcoins. But break this down for me, right? How do you explain that finiteness where you've got Bitcoin cash, you've got halving of Bitcoins, and of course, you've got that whole phenomenon of more and more and more?
Yeah, there are many cryptocurrencies out there, as you mentioned earlier, different types of cryptocurrency. But I think what makes Bitcoin stand out is the network effect, right? So yes, you can print as many different types of cryptocurrency as you want, but the ones that everyone recognizes, the one that everyone's using, the one that has the highest mining, highest hash rate by miners that secures the network is going to be Bitcoin, right? And because of that, it also shares a lot of similarity with gold, which makes it sort of like a commodity, if you will, more of a supply and demand on top of it. But also, Bitcoin is such a young currency with only 12 years of history. There is also a lot of speculation and noise with regards of whether it can be the future of currency and a better version of gold in the future.
And Tia, my issue with Bitcoin is how do you value it? Because it's not like a company with earnings, you know, or losses, or even so, you know, or cash flow generation, for example. I mean, is it just down to demand and supply dynamics?
Yeah, sounds like it, if you will, because if you look at Bitcoin, it's not a company. It has no earnings, no yield, and no income for its holders. Again, you can think of it like a commodity. So how do some people put a valuation on Bitcoin? They most likely use some sort of comparable. As mentioned about the digital gold thesis, you can compare it with the market capitalization of gold, which is about $10 trillion right now. And then Bitcoin is currently sitting at about $700 billion. So it inherently comes down to how much people want to acquire Bitcoin as a form of store of value that is not controlled by a central authority and also probably as a globally accepted payment network. It comes down to how much people want that at this point in time.
But then does this always mean that Bitcoin will be subject to volatility, which we have seen? I mean, we do see wild price swings even intraday that, you know, can go for like from 40,000 back to 38,000 all in a few hours. I mean, what accounts for this extreme volatility, and could this then lead to a crash, which we have seen before, if I'm not wrong, in 2017?
Yeah, so the volatility of Bitcoin is mainly due to its market immaturity, in a sense that the liquidity is much more smaller compared to traditional finance. And if we look at in the past few years, in 2017, during the past run-up, a lot of the parties that were involved in the market were mainly retail guys, which also makes the market much more volatile. What's different this time around, we have seen, is that there's a lot of institutional participation, and these are all sophisticated players. Again, it may start to attract the attention of retail as the price run-up continues. Whether there's going to be a crash or not, like any other rally, there's always... It can't go up forever, right? Whenever there is something that goes up too much, it has to have a correction. So it really comes down to how the market continues to react to the price of Bitcoin. If it overheats into a speculative mania where people are coming in and they are not knowing why they are buying Bitcoin in the first place, then I don't think this is going to end well.
Yeah, TM, for Bitcoin to hit the mainstream, right? And the mainstream meaning you can transact it, you can store it, it will have a store of value as well. How does it hit the mainstream? Because as I understand it, there's only one country in the world which has embraced it as a conventional currency. I think that could be Lithuania or Estonia or something.
Yeah, so here's my personal opinion on how Bitcoin can become mainstream. I think that looking at it in the past few years, like, people generally do not like to use Bitcoin because it's very volatile. Like, if you were to use it as money, today, you know, it's worth X amount of money, tomorrow it may be worth more or less. So it's not a very stable form of currency for payments. And it's also very difficult to acquire and difficult to use. So that's why the mainstream public generally do not like to use Bitcoin, because of that reason. But in the grand scheme of things, when people start to understand what they could do in order to hedge against the global economic climate, right? Like, for example, if there's going to be an incoming inflation due to QE, they'll start to ask themselves, like, what are the options out there? You have other assets that sort of perform in better ways against that kind of situation. And Bitcoin is also one of that option. So people will probably start to look into Bitcoin once they understand what they could do with it and what is its role, rather than just acquiring it just because they want to use it for a day-to-day payment or adoption.
Well, JP Morgan reckons $146,000 per Bitcoin. That's nearly four times where it is today. What do you reckon on that forecast?
Yeah, I think that is a forecast that's reasonable if you look at it in the long-term perspective. The gold market cap, as we have discussed earlier, is about $10 trillion. Bitcoin currently is about $700 billion. If you think that Bitcoin is going to overtake gold, then that seems to be a reasonable forecast. Of course, we don't know if it will happen in this cycle, but it looks like a long-term trajectory on its way to $100,000. It may take a couple of market cycles, couple of up and downs before we get there, but in the long run, it is possible for that kind of valuation.
Okay, TM, thank you so much for your time. That was TM Lee, founder of CoinGecko. Now, what seemed incredible...
Sorry, my mouth was still open.
Reasonable, $146,000. Yeah. But you know what's strange? If you had, you know, come from 1950 and then you look at what's happening in the world today, it would have been shocking for you, right? And this would just be another thing to be shocked at.
Yeah, I don't want to be the dinosaur investor, which I might be, but I'm a...
We're already dinosaur investors. How many Bitcoin do you have?
Zero. Because I don't know how to value it. And that has always come back to haunt me, right? Because I don't know how... it just based on demand and supply of what... gold still has an industrial use. It's a precious metal. You can kind of know, you look at the the miners, how much they are bringing on to the supply in terms of supply to the market. There's certain things that channel checks you can make with regards to gold. I don't know what channel checks you're going to make with regards to Bitcoin. I suppose more mainstream use is one of them.
Well, remember Warren Buffett, right? He was a famous gold bear, right? He said that he will never buy gold because its prices just rely on the fact that people think it's going to go up in value. It doesn't yield anything. It doesn't earn anything on its own, right? You've got to store it somewhere. But that he since caved. He bought Barrick Gold, didn't he? So,
and he was also a bear on tech. And look at where he is now.
Apple is one of his biggest holdings, right?
There you go.
Okay. Next, how is the healthcare system coping with rising cases of COVID-19 and are tighter restrictions necessary? Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.